Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, March 29th. I'm your host, Aligo Carter. Tonight, it's the return of Durant. Let me hear you. Return of Durant. And we're all extremely excited about our superstar, one of our two super-duper megastars, returning to the lineup, and hopefully we'll get this win over the Milwaukee Bucks. And, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo was the guy selected second in the All-Star game behind Kevin Durant, number one and number two picks. Going up against each other should be really, really fun. And, I got a little pep in my step. I mean, it's opening day. I'm going to A's opening day trying to get this podcast out before the game starts. And for all of you A's fans out there, enjoy opening day. For all you Giants fans, I know they're down in Los Angeles. Enjoy opening day anyway. And when they come back up to San Francisco, I hope you all have a good time. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to preview the game against the Bucks in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to go back in time and take a look at the Warriors roster during Stephen Curry's rookie season 2009-2010, back when they were wearing the lightning duds. Going to be fun taking a look at the path that this franchise has taken since it drafted Stephen Curry back then, almost a decade ago. Then in the third segment, we're going to look at the first of seven teams that the Warriors could face in the first round. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're in the fourth spot right now, could easily fall to seventh, followed by New Orleans, San Antonio, Minnesota, Utah, rounding out the top eight, along with the LA Clippers and Denver Nuggets, who could make it theoretically into that spot as well. We're going to start with the Oklahoma City Thunder today, and we'll go down the line for the next 7 days, figuring out who the best matchup is for the Golden State Warriors. We'll start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. That'll be in the third segment. In the first segment, we're talking Bucks, so let's do it. The Bucks are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They just lost. They're only four games above 500 and holding down the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference, which has been decided. You know, they might get to seventh and be able to face the Boston Celtics, but right now it's Toronto and Milwaukee looking at that 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference. It actually makes no sense to me that this team is, you know, so apparently mediocre. Jason Kidd led them to 23-22 before he was fired. Joe Prunty, in the interim, has gone 16-13 with this team. They're four games above 500. Malcolm Brogdon has a partially torn left quad, sidelined until the beginning of April. Dellavedova dealing with an ankle injury, sidelined, and there's no timetable for his recovery. An important player for them, Thon Maker, was held out of the last game with a right groin strain, uncertain if he'll play Thursday today against the Warriors. But this is a good team. Eric Bledsoe, John Henson, Jabari Parker, Chris Middleton. I mean, those are extremely good players. Tony Snell and Jason Terry, like, providing veteran leadership. Brandon Jennings playing extremely well off of a new contract that he got with them to just try to make things happen, score off the bench. And then, of course, there's Giannis. In 37 minutes, he's taking almost 19 shots, making 53% of them. A cool 56% from two and 76% from the line. He's only taking 1.9 three-pointers a game, making 31% of them. You know, it's not a part of his game, but maybe it will be at some point. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game, including two offensive, along with 4.8 assists and three stocks, that steals plus blocks. You know, handling the ball a lot, turning the ball over three times a game. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that when the ball is in his hands that much, but you want to see that assist to turnover ratio look a little bit better. But the man is 6'11", playing small forward with 7 foot freakishly long arms, 7'3", 7'4", whatever, how long his arms are. We don't even know. They might be infinity. But he is no doubt a superstar, averaging 27 points a game. And he is going to have to be held down by Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is going to have to play some defense and match him on the offensive end. He's going to be rusty. He's going to be eager, though, to play some basketball because he hasn't played in a while. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I just feel like he's going to come out firing. Yeah, he's really the only thing that the Warriors have going for them, considering they've had such a struggle putting the ball in the basket over the last few games. Some more fantastic news. It's looking like Draymond Green has gotten over his flu-like symptoms and is expected to suit up tonight. So we got the two best friends. We got KD and Draymond tonight. And then Klay Thompson expected to return to action against the Suns on Sunday. I got a big smile on my face right now. I know you guys and ladies can't see it, but it's big. It's a toothy grin. It's just, because it's been tough. It's been really, really tough to watch this team not be able to put the ball in the basket. And like I've said in the past, these guys are extremely talented. So I'm not really sure what the deal is with not being able, 11 points in the fourth quarter in the last game. I'm not really sure what the deal is with not being able to put the ball in the basket if it's just jitters. Like I said, they turned the ball over a significant amount of times, 5 times in that fourth quarter, and lost the opportunity to put the ball in the basket. But 5 of 17 from the field in the fourth, and it wasn't necessarily that the Pacers defense just started suffocating everyone. The Warriors just went cold. The Warriors were unable to get things in the flow of their offense, and they certainly didn't have any transition points. I talked about that, only 2 transition points for the game. Very un-Warriors-esque, but with Draymond returning, running the ball up the court, Kevin Durant being available to finish and do a crazy, amazing Kevin Durant things, there's no way that the Warriors will end up with just 2 fast break points in this game against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks do have a negative point differential, minus 0.3. They score 105.9 points a game, allow 106.2. Their defensive rating is in the bottom half of the league. Their offensive rating is in the top half of the league. They're very close. 10th out of 30, according to Basketball Reference, on the offensive rating, and 19th out of 30 defensively. So this is a middling team, a team that has a little bit of trouble defending the three-point line. They allow 27 attempts per game, and teams make 37% of their three-pointers. They also shoot 56%, opponents that is, from 2 for a total of 46%. And the Warriors, they averaged, before all of the injuries, were above 50% from the field per game. Should be an opportunity to get some points on the board this time around. Quick injury update before we move on to the next segment. Chris Boucher, who hasn't really gotten playing time anyway, has a sprained left ankle. He's questionable. Omari Caspi is questionable with a sprained right ankle. Klay Thompson, as I said, will return hopefully on Sunday, and Stephen Curry is officially listed as out until potentially the second round of the playoffs. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for Throwback Thursday. And we're back, and we're talking the Warriors back in 2009, 2010, the last year that the team would wear the Thunder logos as the Thunder became a thing. Afterwards, and the Warriors rebranded with the Bay Bridge on their crest, and it looks really good, definitely, but definitely also a little nostalgic for the days of Thunder. Thunder actually came to my middle school when I was in sixth grade and dunked over my principal. He was the coolest guy. He, talked about, what it means to be a good person and how you can become a great basketball player, let alone person. He was a great role model. this lineup is really interesting. So Stephen Curry was a rookie. Monte Ellis was the star. Steven Jackson was still on this team for a time, but was thrown away. He didn't want to be there anymore. Corey Maggette, Anthony Morrow, Anthony Randolph, Anthony Tolliver. A lot of people on this roster throughout the year. Ronnie Turioff. You remember C.J. Watson? C.J. Watson was a pretty good shooter. Reggie Williams, another D-League pickup. Back in the day, it was the D-League. Big, nice shooting guard, small forward. Definitely played very well for the Warriors. Kalena Azubuike, our stalwart guy in the studio was, this was before he was injured, he was playing for the Warriors, as was Rajah Bell, and of course Andris Biedrins, who hopefully isn't somewhere in Latvia covered in cocaine. Devin George played for this team for a second. Kobe Carl, George Carl's son, and A.C. Law. This was a Don Nelson coach team. The next year was Keith Smart, of course. And Steph didn't really, you know, he had a great rookie season, second in the rookie of the year voting, but you know, in 17 points and had a 35-point triple double, but was still not given the green light, especially with Keith Smart, but even so with Don Nelson, you know, that was, this was Monte's team. So, and Monte was scoring 25 points a game. He was playing 41 minutes, which is a ton. You don't see guys playing that many minutes a game these days. This was almost a decade ago. And, you know, in that time, he averaged 45% shooting, 34% from three. Was putting up 22 shots a game. For the entire season, played 64 games, put up 22 shots a game to get those 25 points. Corey Maggette was putting up 12.7 shots a game to get his 20 points. Corey Maggette was a really very steady presence for the Warriors during this time. He shot 51.6% from the field and was one of the most reliable guys from the line, along with Stephen Curry, averaged 83.5% from the line. Steph, of course, was up in the high 80s. Played 80 games that year. Corey Maggette played 79, Anthony Morrow 69, C.J. Watson 65 to go along with Monte Ellis's 64. I hardly even remember Chris Hunter, but he played 60 games for the Warriors in 2009-2010. Devin George, Anthony Tolliver, Ronnie Turioff all played more than 40. Anthony Randolph, Vladimir Radmanovic, what a absolute blast from the past. And Andris Biedrins all played 33 games. Reggie Williams was in there for 24 games. Mikey Moore, M-I-K-K-I, that guy, 23 games. And Cartier Martin, another D-League pickup, played 10 games for the Warriors that season. Used to love hearing Bob Fitzgerald say Cartier Martin. It's just so nice, Cartier. This team went 26-56 in Don Nelson's final year, and the one highlight was getting Don Nelson to become the winningest coach in NBA history. Of course, by total wins, not by percentage. This team played no defense whatsoever. Defensive rating of 111.7 per Basketball Reference is 29th in the league, and they had a middling offense. So their point differential was a minus 3.6. But this team was a hallmark of what the Warriors did for that decade. They were first in the league in pace, regularly would score 110 points and allow 120. That's just the way it was with the Warriors back in the day. But Stephen Curry got to play under Don Nelson, one of the most influential coaches in NBA history, if not one of the greatest. And, you know, that I think helped him as far as, you know, coming into the NBA, getting a little bit of confidence. Losing certainly does not make you feel good. But I think Nelson had faith in Curry that Keith Smart just didn't have. So, you know, Don Nelson retired to Hawaii after this season, and Keith Smart was not as kind to Curry, was not as kind when Curry made mistakes, when he would turn the ball over and everything like that. But Curry had a good season, as I said, 17.5 points a game to go along with 5.9 assists in his first season, 1.9 steals, 4.5 rebounds, and always been a good rebounder for a small guard. He shot 47% from 4% from three in his first season, just killed it. 2.1 out of 4.8. And overall was shooting 46% from the field. He was a very good rookie. And nobody thought he would reach the level that he reached in 2015-2016, where he basically just took control of the league, became a human video game. But there was a lot of good from this rookie season for Steph. You know, he became kind of a revolving door defensively and has put himself in a position to be a much better defender over the last 9 seasons. But, there was so much promise from this guy on the offensive end that, in hindsight, not surprised that he became the greatest shooter ever, though definitely didn't see some of the amazing things that he's done coming. It was a much different time back then, and the Warriors were just not good. We're thankful that even with injuries, the Warriors have a chance to really, make a difference this season for the fans in Oakland. Hopefully get another parade down Broadway, another rally over by the lake. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a synopsis of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who the Warriors could play in the first round. It's that time. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is trying to reach a connected audience, look no further than Locked On Warriors. Smart advertisers are taking their products to the public via podcasts, and Locked On Warriors is no different. So definitely get in touch with me, AlicoCarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. Our rates are super reasonable, and you have nothing to lose. And we're back and we're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Relatively unlikely that the Thunder will fall to the 7th seed, but I'm just being careful and listing in order all 7 teams who could face the Warriors in the first round, starting with the Thunder currently in the 4th seed. And the Thunder have 2 absolute and utter superstars in Russell Westbrook and Paul George. And then, of course, Carmelo Anthony, when he becomes Olympic Melo, can be an absolute terror as well. They're a very good rebounding team. 5th in the league in rebounding. The Warriors are going to have to stay on top of the boards and rebound as a team if they face the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. They're middling offensively. They shoot 45% and 35% from 3, but they make about 10 of them. They take 30 three-pointers a game. And they're only shooting 71% from the free throw line, so it's not super dangerous to put them there. But it's a very dangerous team that can get out, run. Their pace is not super duper fast. They play at a pace that ranks 18th out of the 30 teams. But they're a good defensive team, and they're a good offensive team. They're in the top 10 in defensive and offensive rating. Obviously, without Andre Roberson, who ruptured his left patellar tendon, they have a differently constructed team defensively. Andre was not adding very much on the offensive end, but was a big, big, important player for them defensively. Could switch easily from Clay to Stephen to Kevin. And that, Alex Abrines can't do that the same. So Abrines has been getting a lot of those minutes, but Hustis plays power forward, but, has been getting a lot of those minutes as well. And they just don't have the same defensive intensity, but still a very good team. Russ is this close to averaging another triple-double, 25.5 points to go along with 10.2 assists, 9.7 total rebounds. He's not going to make it this year, but just that he was able to do it and then almost do it again, I mean, that just shows, he might be hunting for stats. He might be, grabbing rebounds and running the fast break himself rather than letting his bigs get him outlet passes and stuff like that. But just that he was able to night in and night out put up 25, 10, and 10 it just shows how important he is to this team. How, he probably did deserve the MVP award last year, though, there's some questioning about whether or not James Harden should have gotten that award. But he's shooting 45% from the field. It's good to just let him shoot only 30% from 3. He's taking 4 a game, but he makes big shots. So leaving him open probably isn't the best idea, even though he is only shooting 30% from the line. Paul George, though, 40%. And he's taking 7.6 threes a game, so he's their main threat from three. Though Corey Brewer is shooting at 41% as well. And, they're not a huge three-point shooting threat to make them. Alex Abrines shooting 39%, and Carmelo only 35%, though we think of him as a shooter. He's taking six of them per game. But the defense is there, and Steven Adams anchors the back line, grabs 5.1 offensive rebounds a game, and only 3.9 defensive, but can light it up defensively on the boards as well. But Russell Westbrook actually leads this team in rebounding. Very surprising, but also not that surprising, you know? It's just one of those things where it's just like, of course Russ leads the team, and you know, that is what it is. But a very good offensive team, a very good defensive team, and if they fall down to seventh, the Warriors will have their hands full. That's about as much time as I have for today. Tune in tomorrow, Friday, where hopefully I'll have Miles Johnson on. We'll be recapping the game against the Milwaukee Bucks, previewing the game against the Phoenix Suns over the weekend, and also going down the Reddit hole. Just as a reminder, you can get my media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. Check my stuff out. You can get this podcast anywhere podcasts are available. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iOS, and LockedOnWarriors.com. Also LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. I'll catch you tomorrow. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.